Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters of FancyPantsGangsters.com. And our streak is broken.
Fucking A.
It's very sad.
Well, I didn't go streaking today. What are you talking about?
Well, it's too cold.
It's very cold here. Minnesota has remembered, oh shit, it's winter.
Yeah. Oh shit, we're the Midwest.
The low of tomorrow is 4 degrees.
Yes. Yeah, good times. But that's not what I'm talking about, actually. It's our first show in several weeks where not all of us are here. We do have Ashley Hay.
Hello.
We also have Ian Anderson.
What up?
Mike Dineen not here, off on a special secret mission. That's what we're going to say.
Yep.
It's kind of like when your dad leaves you and you're a little kid. Like, no, he's out. He's a spy.
He's getting a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
He's but in jail.
We fully...
Mike's not in jail, though.
Though
we did get the rumor that you were pregnant, doing. So...
What?
We did get the rumor started that you were pregnant, so we could say Mike's in jail.
Okay. I like it.
Because the internet listens to us.
Yeah.
Isn't it obvious?
And by rumor, I mean Among Us 4.
Yes.
I was going to say, the only people that constantly talk about preggers is Evan. And if I say I have a headache, preggers.
Yes.
Everything preggers.
Everything's preggers. You're a very fertile person. I can't help it.
I'm having a cupcake.
Preggers.
I'm having a cupcake.
Well, it depends on what's on the cupcake. Anyway.
You didn't say who you were.
I didn't. You're right. I didn't. I'm Evan. Hello. How's it going?
Fine, thanks.
Excellent. I'm not used to looking at you. That's the problem. I'm used to looking at Ian.
This is like a different dynamic. I'm looking at nobody.
Yeah, without Mike here, the seating arrangement's all wackadoodle. So.
This is going to be a whacked show then.
It is going to be a very strange show, but we'll get through it here. So the sales figures for the Christmas year are out now. They've been finalized, and on top of that, they've added just overall numbers.
Yeah, the grand total.
Grand total.
The headline, as reported by Kotaku, there are now 66 million Xbox 360 consoles in the wild. And with that, there are 40...
What about in zoos?
Probably about five.
Okay, good.
Five. You know,
only for the gorillas.
Jimmy Giraffe has to play one every once in a while.
Jimmy Giraffe?
Yeah.
All right.
I think that was some Super Troopers.
I think that was a Clash song, but actually.
I think the only animals would be primates because of the opposable thumbs. I think a giraffe would just mash things.
Well, Kinect has opened it up to the entire animal kingdom.
Yeah, I wonder what the height requirement is for Kinect.
You have to get the giraffe in your living room first. Let's get that.
That is the problem.
So baby giraffe.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
Oh, that'd be cute. Any baby animal that lives
in a
zoo.
Baby animal playing Connectimals where like they can order around like a small like tiger. You think that confuses them?
Maybe.
Like, because I worry that like a baby giraffe, who we'll name Jimmy now, they're going to play with Skittles on the Connectimals.
And now is Skittle a tiger or a bear?
Either one. Either for the purposes of this cautionary tale, it doesn't matter.
We'll say it's
a tiger. A tiger.
A tiger.
A tiger. Or a tiger.
Yeah.
Either one. And that imprints on Jimmy that tigers or tigles are safe. And then he goes, hangs out with the tigers, and then he's eaten in front of another small child, and just trauma, the trauma chain continues.
It's like a snake eating its own tail.
Kind of, yeah, but just...
I just
more
had
sad.
A messed up thought about that Connectimals. How weird.
Oh, mine wasn't messed up?
Well, no, just how weird is it, like, you're going to teach kid to play with tigers and bears. It's not like a puppy or a kitty. It's like, no, a tiger and a bear. Like, these things in the wild will murder you.
I wonder if there'll be an indie game that lets you put, like man in van as Connectimal. So that just gets used to people talking to strangers, you know, accepting candy. I think the Xbox
has a candy cannon. So
that would be awesome. I think all games should have candy cannon feature. Oh, you assassinated the Pope.
Candy cannon.
Yeah, here's some Tootsie Rolls.
Open your mouth.
Except for like, when it has a bug, it would just fire him off too hard and just hurt you.
Yeah, yeah. Skyrim will have killed several people.
You open your mouth and it just goes on your throat and you choke to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death by candy cannon.
We're gonna add this. You know, well, the rumor is that they're gonna this year at E3 they're gonna be announcing the new generation of Xbox 360 and PS3.
Well, the PS3 one has been said no for E3 showing.
Oh, did they? Yeah. They said that. Okay. Either way, I'm think that's gonna be my prediction for feature candy cannon.
Candy cannon.
Yeah, because there's no place they can go with Kinect. They can just make it a little more fine, but that's less cool. If you add, you know, candy cannon, and if it was the Kinect candy cannon, that's just fun to say.
Yeah, Kinect candy
cannon. No, but you have an awful way that's going to be spelled then.
Probably. Yeah. But, you know.
And no. Somebody in marketing is going to look at that and be like, guys,
you
like,
could do KCK. Hearts at, but no. You could just do KCK. Wouldn't that work?
Or just KCC and do the actual first letters of candy cannon.
Yeah.
We're overthinking this, I'm sure. But yeah, so 66 million 360s sold.
Yeah, like sold. Like
over Christmas?
In the wild. No.
That was a good Christmas.
Yeah.
No.
And the Kinect has sold 18 million.
Which is extremely well. I think that's better than most people were even thinking.
I'm guessing 17 million people are a little sad about the fact that they own one. I mean, I love mine, but I don't get the $250 use or whatever I paid for it out of
it. For your Kinect?
Yeah.
That's why, yeah, we just got ours at Target and only paid $100 for it.
Yeah.
So...
I think it's a great device, and I'm really excited to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, I use it to yell at my TV.
I'm really excited. I just want to buy Dance Central 2. And how screwed up is that Dance Central and Dance Central 2 are the exact same price still?
I know. I was looking at that.
I'm not okay with this.
One of the times when my girlfriend was in town, we had some people over. I'm like, it'd be fun to get Dance Central. It's got to be like $30 now. Nope.
Both of them are
50. Yeah.
Yep. Both still 50. Because Cole... got the Kinect. I was like, well, why don't we get a game? Even though the pack he got came with three really good games. It was like a
Gunslinger?
Yeah, it came with
that game's a lot. Gunstringer, yes.
Yeah, he got Gunstringer, some Fruit
Ninja.
Fruit Ninja, and then something else. But then...
Kinect Adventures?
Maybe. So, I mean, it was a really good pack.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I want Dance Intro. So then we looked, and 50-50. I have to call an it. That's ridiculous.
I was going
to
say, we have an in.
I know, I still want to bugger.
I think it goes to say how popular those games are right now. The fact that they can still charge. It's kind of like, I felt like Nintendo is the only one that could get away with charging. You know, they still charge full $50 for Super Smash Bros. Melee or Brawl or whatever the newest one for the Wii is. Like, those games stay high price forever.
Well, all Nintendo games are they keep their value. Any sort of, first party Nintendo games tend to keep their value for a long time. I'm sure your first Mario Galaxy is still.
I think that's down to like, it's like on their greatest hits line or something like that now. Okay. $20.
But like even today, I was looking at Amazon. You know how you can trade in video games on Amazon?
Yeah.
I was looking at the DS because Cole doesn't ever play his DS, and I've beaten most of our DS games. And he was thinking about getting rid of them anyways. And eBay, I just like, don't want to have to deal with eBay. So we looked at Amazon, and he could get, like, $25-$50 for his DS. And really? For each DS game, we could get, like, $5 to $10, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, that's better than GameStop.
I know. Well, actually, GameStop does give a fair amount for DS games, too.
Do they?
I brought in a couple games, and a surprise, I walked away with, like, $30. And I had a couple Xbox games in there I got, you know, a nickel for or whatever.
Right. I know, but the DS games hold their value.
Kids buy them so fast, and I think they go churn through them pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true.
They have some value to have in the store.
Mm-hmm. The amazing statistic, aside from this, the 66 million Xboxes, is that there are 40 million Xbox Live users.
But that isn't Xbox Live Gold. It says just Xbox Live. So you can have the free silver account.
Is that what that says?
Yeah. Let me pull up the article here.
Yeah, all this article says is that there's 40 million Xbox Live users.
Yeah, and I know I have a gold account and two silver accounts, so.
I don't even have a silver account. What does that even entail?
That's the free stuff. It's basically everything but multiplayer.
Yeah.
And Netflix and shit.
So why wouldn't anybody just have that? So they must mean gold, because if you had an Xbox, why wouldn't you have a silver? But we just bought the gold right away.
You still need to sign up for it, though. I can imagine there's a lot of Xboxes out there that just never bothered to sign up for anything.
Yeah, Xboxes that don't have internet connections.
Yeah.
Sad. Those are sad Xboxes.
True. That is very sad. But
they have so lonely.
Yeah.
But even more interesting than 66 million Xboxes out in the wild, 150 PlayStation 2s, 150 million.
Yeah, I was going to say
150. I own two of them. No, 150 million PlayStation 2s on the wild.
And they're still selling. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
I have mine still.
I don't.
It works.
I bought a PlayStation 3 that does backwards compatibility. So, but I mean, it's definitely still a great system. You know, I have a couple of PS2 games I'm still looking at playing, like Odin Sphere and...
Odin Sphere's a great game.
And the Shadow Colossus Ico games. But now that those are coming on remakes...
Yes, I have it.
Yeah,
no. I have the collection.
You should let me play Odin Sphere when you're done with it.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to play that.
It's one of those things where, like, I've played just a little bit of it, and, like, the graphic style, just the kind of sprite-based animation is so vibrant, so vivid, but you could tell the PlayStation 2 was not designed to play to basically render that game. Because if so much started happening on the screen, it would just start to chug. But still, you know, kudos to that team for making a different art style than just pixels.
Oh, yeah. So. And I think the PlayStation 2 is kind of oddball, because I can't remember a system that probably since the Nintendo, the original Nintendo, in the sense that it was, when the next version comes out, it that new version is successful on its own, but, you know, since the old one is lower price point and with such a huge library,
yeah,
it becomes just kind of that de facto console. Plus now that it's what? Is it under $100 at this point?
I think it's $99.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's sad to say, that's dirt cheap for consoles.
Yeah, well, especially like a PS2. I mean, I still have my original. I haven't turned it on for a while, but the red light's still there, so I assume it's still going to work.
I was just saying that, like, I know they had a few quality issues, but nothing like we've seen in this generation, especially with the Xbox. But I know, like, for the most part, PS2s were pretty reliable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, in the early days, they had alignment issues with the laser.
Yeah.
And there was some disk drive issues in general, but you're right, they were pretty solid machines, and they last forever now. I mean, now, especially anything you've got in the last 8 years.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, on the article,
the damn thing.
It came out in October 2000.
Is that when the PS2 did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was older than that.
That's 11 and a half years old.
Well, I know, I just feel like it was older than that. I don't know why.
I mean, I started college in 2001, and yeah, I got one. I got my PS2... probably midway through 2001.
I got mine for Christmas my sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
I'm so old.
Because I graduated in 2003.
Did you get it in high school?
I'm so old.
Oh, no, freshman year. That would have been my freshman year.
Yep.
I was already in my first apartment by that point.
Mm.
Again.
I remember I borrowed it from a friend of mine to play Final Fantasy X.
Was Jesus good at Final Fantasy X?
He was. He was, you know... You know, the problem is he had unlimited guys on every game he played.
Who's his favorite character to play?
Depends on the game. He actually played a lot of women, which was kind of weird. Mm. But, you know.
He had nice hair.
He did. He did. Very luxurious.
Womanly hair.
Yes. I would say so, yes. Anyway.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of old things, actually, there's two big stories revolving around old franchises. The big one, for me... at least, or at least the more surprising one, was the announcement done by Game Informer I think it was a couple weeks ago now.
Yeah, isn't it their cover issue or something? Gets the cover.
Yeah, treatment? It's the cover story for their latest issue that in addition to the XCOM first-person shooter game that is being worked on currently, there is another XCOM game in development that is it's an original-style turn-based strategy game. Which looks awesome. They've since sort of started leaking out screenshots and things like that, and it's like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Now, you being an older gamer, you probably remember the original.
Yes, buddy.
You remember the original XCOM, don't you?
I do.
Because when I got my first computer, that game was already a little older, and I never got into it, but I always wanted to. Like, it looked like one of those badass games I just wanted to dive into and play, but I never really got to it.
It is one of those games where if all they do... and by they, I mean Firaxis, which
is a great pedigree.
Great pedigree. I mean, this is the company that has done all of the modern Civilization games, so they know a thing or two about turn-based strategy games. And if all they do is just do a graphical update of the original game, then it'll be an amazing game. Because
was it a computer game?
It was a computer game. I think that's all it ever was. Was a PC game. I don't know if they ever did a console version of it, but yeah, it was, you know, when the FPS was announced, I found a copy that I had of the original game, and I played it, and it's one of those where it's like the core gameplay is there, it's solid, aside from the goofiness that you get with any of these games where it's like, oh, every person in your unit can have three guns, almost unlimited ammo for each, plus a dead alien on his back and not have any sort of movement penalty because apparently they're badass. But aside
or
from
aliens
that,
weigh like a feather.
No.
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 A dead alien is like a dead body.
How do you know? Do you know an alien?
Yeah.
Who? And you can't say Mike.
Well, there's some people that have, like, green cards that come over from
not that kind. I mean, like, space.
Oh, I can't talk about that.
Isn't that would be an XCOM? Aren't they actually aliens?
No, yeah. They're actually hunting Mexicans. Yes, of course, Indians.
Wow.
Wow, that is a Freudian slip there. Anyway.
Oh, I can't believe you just said that.
Going back to the original game, I mean, the base building aspects and the actual turn-based combat stuff, like, all of that is solid and it still works. But, you know, the user interface is terrible. I mean, this was a game that was around in the early days of mouse for games. So,
you might have a mouse when you play it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of UI issues, you know, and obviously the graphics were very limited in what you could do. But if they leave the core gameplay alone and don't futz with it too much, I think it'll be an amazing game. And I actually can't wait for it. I don't think there's been any announcement as to when it will be coming out.
Aren't you one of the proponents, though? Like, you don't think that they should remake Final Fantasy VII?
I don't.
But he likes XCOM.
No, it's not that. It's more...
What is it?
I would be fine if they hadn't done that. I would, you know, and if they inevitably remake Final Fantasy VII, I will be okay with that. I would rather they make new games and new titles. In this case, it doesn't sound like it's a straight up remake, though. It's just it's a new game in the old style.
They're making an alien based real time or turn based strategy game.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is better, I think, in my mind. If you can bring back the franchise, because it was a very interesting franchise that had a very interesting kind of mythology to it, and there's a lot more backstory to it. Plus, if I can have my base on Jamaica, like I always did, which I think is the perfect place for an anti-alien organization of any sort, just have it in Jamaica, you know, F it. But, I mean, I'm against remakes in the sense that I think they pull away resources from doing new stuff, but if they're going to make it, I just hope it's good. Because very few of these remakes have been good.
Right.
What I find interesting about this whole thing and kind of going along the lines, like, will it be good? So it was about a year ago we first heard XCOM, Unknown Enemy, first-person shooter game.
Yes.
A lot of the fans were really confused. Like, we remember this being a turn-based strategy game, and now you're turning into an FPS, WTF. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this project came around from so much passion for the XCOM universe. I mean, we haven't seen a game from XCOM in, what, a decade? Maybe longer?
At least, yeah. Because there was the original game, and then they had done two additional ones that were less good. But
yeah, so, I mean, other than, what, Duke Nukem, how many 15-year-old franchises have gotten resurrected recently?
That have done well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see them kind of spinning up production on this, seeing the outcry. I also wonder if the success of Civilization V helped Firaxis in this, where, I mean, it was a different, you know, with Civilization being a very different style than Civilization IV, which also I think kind of worries some people in terms of doing this, like how much are they going to streamline it, you know, in quote streamline it, aka dumb it down.
I'm fine with dumbing it down.
There was a lot going on in the original XCOM, so I could see places where it could use a little simplification.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am tentatively excited for this.
When also, if you're Firaxis, are you, you know, when you get jazzed up about your next project, is it Civilization VI after delivering, they did what, 3, 4, and 5?
I think they were, Firaxis was around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it a new property in which you get to take what you already know? And the big thing about that is with Civilization comes certain mannerisms or, you know, kind of basically whatever fans are looking for in that series, certain things you have to deliver. But if you can deliver that in a different way and start changing how you construct your turn-based strategy through a different property, they can call it an almost experiment for their next Civilization game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because those games have to come out and they're going to expect it to sell millions, you know. So
I would hope so.
Is it just for PC then?
No, it actually will be for 360, PlayStation 3, and PC, and it's actually coming out this fall.
So
it's fairly far along. At least I hope it's far along at this point.
But that's what you like. You like to know when they're going to come out sooner rather than later.
I don't really care, honestly, when they come out, as long as they're good, as long as they're done.
No, I know, but we've talked in length of how you just don't want to know about something until you know it's going to be coming out fairly soon.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You like what Nintendo did to us at E3? Like, we might make Super Smash Brothers. Maybe.
At some
we might
point.
Make these.
We'll just tease you a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're just a cock tease.
Yeah.
Well, unless you don't like those games.
Well, and you know, some companies are better about that than others. I know Firaxis, I mean, they didn't announce Civ 5 until it was a couple months away.
We're making a hex-based Civilization game. No!
Yeah. There is that, I suppose, too. Wow. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this. I think the Game Informer cover is awesome. Like, seriously, whoever does their covers, like...
Well, that artwork it made me forget is the game's...
Well, I know. I'm not saying
they just put it together.
I'm not saying it's one person doing all their covers, but just who's ever in charge of their covers is awesome.
For picking out the art, you mean?
Yeah.
Their cover made me think of the first person shooter game, though.
It did, but it was more. If you just saw the front cover, you wouldn't be able to get that. You have to get that full cover because it's only on the back cover that you see the guy with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Which, granted, there were guys with guns in the strategy game too, but. It was more, it's much more about the setting. Like, you know, nowadays when the alien is the bad guy in a game, it's like something like Halo or something like Resistance or Killzone where it's not that classic kind of gray alien. You know, it's not the guy, you know, it's not the small thing with the bulbous head and the black eyes. That is the alien that they show on the cover. I'm like, and that is, I think, a very interesting. It's not a new thing, obviously, but it's just I like that they can. XCOM was always good about going back to those old kind of alien stereotypes.
Yeah. You mean like the book, the cover of the book Communion, which scared the crap out of me as a child?
It's a terrifying book cover.
Yeah, and then also a terrifying made for TV movie when you're six.
Yeah, who was in that?
Well, don't
Christopher
watch
Walken.
Like
I was going to say Christopher Walken was in
think,
that
yeah.
show. Yeah.
Why are you watching that when you're six?
I don't know, because I'm dumb. Couldn't sleep for like a week.
That is dumb.
In other news. Of old franchises coming back.
Fallout. Fallout is a very popular franchise.
Yeah, I guess it's not really that much of a comeback for them.
But. Well, yeah, but if you look back, I mean, Interplay was the dominant force behind Fallout for Fallout 1 and 2 and their tactics game.
Yes.
However, at one point, Interplay hit the financial skids and has to sell off some of their franchises. ZeniMax, or is it Bethesda that comes by and scoops up Fallout?
Bethesda does.
Bethesda. And then basically, Interplay decides they're going to make a Fallout MMO and hires a developer, let me see if I can find the name here, Masthead Studios, to make the MMO. So, of course, the legal antics ensued, and there is a settlement. Under the terms of the settlement, the license granted to Interplay to develop the Fallout MMO title is now null and void, and all rights to develop the MMO have been turned over to Bethesda effectively immediately. Additionally, Interplay can no longer use Fallout brand for game development, and this is as reported by Game Informer. Basically, ZeniMax will pay Interplay $2 million as part of the settlement. Masthead, which was developing the MMO, doesn't get to use the title or any of the game properties and can't use them anymore. And essentially now, Bethesda has the ability to make the Fallout MMO.
Mm-hmm. Which they probably will never do.
Yeah, they don't seem like the BioWare company in which they're going to make an MMO at some point. They seem to like that model which they're treading.
Yes, yeah, especially, you know, just, especially with something that has already established itself with two games already, with Fallout 3 and then Fallout New
yeah.
Vegas, you know, even though I think it's sad that they're, because I think that of all those universes, I think Bethesda has a good, I think a Bethesda-made MMO could be really, really good.
Yeah.
Because I think they, I mean, you look at Skyrim, that's basically a single-player MMO.
Yeah.
No, and Fallout, I think, would be a perfect environment for an MMO. What's interesting about this whole thing, because the whole... There's parts of this story that you have to have been following it since the beginning
mm-hmm.
to really kind of understand how... I don't want to say how big a deal this is, but how kind of odd this is. Because what happened is Interplay went bankrupt, sold off all their shit to Bethesda. And Interplay also took with it Black Isle Studios, which is the group that later went on to form BioWare.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly. I might be getting the pedigree wrong there, but I'm pretty sure. So then a few years go by, and another company, another group, buys licenses the name Interplay and goes to Bethesda and say, we want to do this. We want to make a Fallout MMO. So the Interplay that lost the rights to this is not the Interplay that made...
Oh, really?
That made Fallout. It's not the same people.
You know, they just took over the name.
Pretty much. It's all of the people that made those games are all working for different companies now. So when Bethesda, which had no plans to do an MMO, when Bethesda got this offer, they're like, fine, you can have the rights to Fallout 1 and 2 and Tactics, and then you can have the rights to do an MMO if you do one of two things. You raise $30 million to make the game, and you start production by like July of 08 or something like that. There was like some hard date where they had to start a production, and neither of those things happened.
Yeah.
And which Bethesda's like, well, then in that case, give us our rights back because you didn't fulfill your end of the bargain. That's what the whole lawsuit was about. And they ended up giving them $2 million for their trouble, which sounds like it's, you know, a lot, but that's after having worked on it for, you know, 3 years.
Now, Interplay does get to keep Tactics 1 and 2.
Until 2013. Because then those rights revert back to Bethesda as well.
Oh, okay.
So, which I was thinking about this, like, how shitty would it be for Interplay, like, January of 2013? Because it's, like, somewhere, like, late 2013 when those rights revert back. Like, January, they're just like, okay, all Fallout games, $2. Just flood the market with the game.
Yeah.
You know, even make it free. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cheap now anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you can get it on Good Old Games for like $5.
Yeah.
Like the collection for like 10 or something. But just kind of spike that last, you know, bit just to get the game out there. Although, you know, that may not be that big of a deal at this point. But it's interesting because the fact that they actually managed to string Bethesda along legally for this long.
Yeah.
When you look at like the court filings and the testimonies and stuff like that, they had not a damn leg to stand on to contest this at all. It's like, you had two things to do. You did neither of them. Apparently, they didn't even come close in terms of raising the money. Like, they weren't even... Like, they may have actually gotten more from Bethesda than they ever raised for the MMO. Like, if you believe some people. So...
So, when I read this article, my mind went to a different place than you. I didn't go necessarily to the legal side. More so, do we need another MMO? I mean, it seems like everyone and their mother is announcing MMOs these days.
Because they make money.
But
if they're good.
World of Warcraft and probably Star Wars The Old Republic will make money.
Yeah. Again, if they're good.
Yeah.
The advantage Fallout has is that there isn't anything else in that genre.
Post-apocalyptic.
Like you get a little bit... There's a sci-fi element to it. You know... So, I mean, you're kind of covered with, like, The Old Republic and things like that. But there really isn't any non-sci-fi fantasy genre games out there that are big. I mean, you know, Korea's got a fuck ton of MMOs.
Yeah.
And, you know, of all different varieties. I'm sure they've got some sort of, like, you know, dating sim game out there.
In the post-apocalyptic environment.
Yeah, just set in a post-apocalyptic environment. Plus, it has the same advantage that Star Wars has, where it has this fan base and this lore already built in.
Yeah.
That they don't have to, you know, craft whole. And that was one of the advantages that World of Warcraft had too, where it had this established universe, you know, that a game like Rift or the upcoming Wildstar or any of these
City
other
of Heroes or anything.
City of Heroes, yeah, they have to build the universe. They have to rely on the gimmick of the game and not the actual background to sell people. So I think it could have been successful, and I think it, you know, we'll see what the Old Republic does.
Yes, 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 we will. I think one of the big things with Old Republic is how many people stick with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, World of Warcraft definitely has people, how many million people playing the game?
A few.
Just a few, just a handful.
Just a couple.
Yeah. So can, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic maintain that the amount of basically hype and buzz they're getting right now?
I think, didn't Star Wars like pull like 15 million its first week or something like that, or 10 million?
Wow. So,
something ridiculous.
It did do good.
Yeah, it did... It's certainly not going to hurt them money-wise.
They launched at the perfect time. Like, hey, kids, on Christmas break, you got $60 in your pocket.
Exactly. And they also have a world record, so there's that, too.
Yeah. I'm warming on the game. I'm actually toying with the idea of trying it out, so.
I'm worried about... the more I think about it, and we can talk about this the more when I talk a little bit about Skyrim.
Yes, Skyrim. But we haven't talked about that forever.
We haven't.
We don't need to keep talking about it.
Yes, we do. I just want to rub your face in it at this point.
You're also rubbing all of our listeners' face in it.
Yes, but most of them are playing Skyrim, so.
Not all.
I said most. Anyway, for me personally, like the Old Republic and like I said before, Wildstar, those are about the only two games that really kind of intrigue me for doing the things story-wise that I want an MMO to do. And the more I read about Star Wars and how it does its what it does, I'm less interested in it. Because to me, it strikes me as much more of a World of Warcraft style story. And, you know, you can say all you want about the quality of the storylines and the acting and all that stuff, and that's great. But in the end, it's still, I think for me, an MMO, the only way an MMO is going to be useful for me is if there is much faster and more adaptive content changes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with like World of Warcraft, they have the new expansion out every, you know, 9 months or whatever. I don't know how often they do it. And that slowly advances the storyline. But like, I want games where, you know, nations change borders on a weekly basis. I want, you know, actual political changes to happen in some words. I almost want like a game mastered game.
So what I've always wanted for a multiplayer game, I'm not going to say massive, because I think what would be good is if you had a game world in which only maybe 60 people played, but they were committed to it.
Yes.
And if you almost played it, like, think of like Risk, kind of your time, about like borders changing and but like espionage and spy and war and all this crazy stuff that you can do within a nation, within the world. Like, I think that kind of gameplay, but you'd have to have like 60 people dedicated to being these forces or commanding these troops or playing these worlds or something like that. Because I think the idea of trying to get thousands of people on a server, it just becomes who's the loudest person in the room screaming.
And there's also a storyline aspect where it's like you can't have a million fated heroes in one world. There has, you know, to quote Caddyshack, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah,
and no one wants to pay $15 a month to be a ditch digger in World of Warcraft.
That's why Second Life was free.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's like no one wants to be the not hero.
Yep.
In a game like that, but the problem is from a storytelling aspect, that makes it really stupid. Like, there's only so much you can do with that, as far as a storyline is concerned. And you need to keep those servers short. I don't know if you need to limit to like 60 people, but if you had like 1,000 people,
yeah,
I think you can do that. The problem is, Game World of Warcraft, you'd need 1,000 servers to do that, which I don't really see them doing.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Oh, you could virtualize them though.
Well, I'm sure you could. But in terms of your question before about the Fallout MMO, I totally think it would work. But I wonder, especially if now that more and more things are going freemium and stuff like that, it's a harder sell.
Well, also, you got to consider the legitimacy of the project, kind of like you mentioned. Like, they're looking for a $30 million investment. I've never heard of Masthead. It doesn't seem like since they've started 2007, 2008 that they got it out. Like, what would the quality of the Fallout MMO be?
Yeah.
And what would that do to the franchise? I mean, if it comes out kind of like, you know, I mean, sorry to say DC Universe, which didn't wow me. Like, I'm sorry. I'm done.
That's right.
I
hated DC Universe too.
I
actually never played that game.
But you hated it anyways. I tried it at San Diego Comic Con.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did a review on it. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think what you have said about there's no ditch digger. When you're surrounded by superheroes, it's like, well, why don't you go solve the crime?
You know?
At least with like World of Warcraft, everyone, it's not like everyone's like flying or has a superhero cape. Like, everyone looks just like they belong in that environment, which is a nation at war.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you could understand that there'd be thousands of soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of makes sense. I think that's one of those things that lets World of Warcraft work, at least kind of when you're starting out, is that everyone kind of looks the same. You look like you fit in the universe.
Yeah.
But when you're like in basically Gotham, wherever my starting area at night was, and everyone's around bright colored capes and looking and standing out and popping out from the background, it just becomes too disorganized.
That's one thing I think Ultima Online did really well, where it made a non-combat class. Like, you could be a merchant in Ultima Online, and it was actually a compelling game. Granted, there was no real story. It was just, it was more just like,
stuff.
It was more just like, here's a world, go play in it. There wasn't that kind of arch storytelling.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem with the massively multiplayer game. When Cataclysm came out for World of Warcraft and they redid all the starting areas, one of the things I really liked was, as we talked about last week, the werewolf and the top hat, the phasing they did in the beginning of the game to at least give you sense of changes, like the island started destroying, and basically, you know, the werewolves, I think they started out on a land that you can never go back to after you're done there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that made it really interesting, but the problem is, once you're done with that, you're back in World of Warcraft. You're back in the game that you've played, I've at least played hundreds of hours on, and it's like, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
So they made the interesting part cool, and they made the end part cool, but like you still have the whole journey to get there.
Indeed.
Cool beans.
Indubitably.
Ashley's dozing off.
Is she?
No.
She should have pounded at least 3 Red Bulls.
I don't drink caffeine. Oh. And I don't play PC games or online games right now. Ever. So.
Right now ever?
Right now ever. So it was just a little... I just don't have that much input.
Well, very good.
But what do you have input on?
Indie games.
Yay!
Everyone loves a good indie game.
I know.
So,
I've actually around the table. Has anyone actually bought an indie game from Xbox Live?
We're talking about Bastion.
Oh
no! For this is from the is it no? I think this is that was Xbox Live. This is the indie.
Oh, you mean the actual like quote unquote indie game section?
Indie game section.
Which ones did they have? Name them all.
Hundreds of you know.
You and I, we could make a game and distribute it through their indie games. It's not
right.
Indie games in the aspect of Bastion being a
right.
Indie game.
Yeah.
Was that Trials? That Trials thing?
No,
that was an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah, there's a difference.
You would know if you got an Xbox indie game because they tend to be about a buck.
I feel like half of them I've seen are just turn your controller into a vibrator,
which is a valid use.
It just rumbles your controllers and have fun.
Hi. Yeah. I like it.
Well, there was one where it was an online game, and the other person would control the vibration. Just saying.
Circular motion, counterclockwise.
I never actually tried it, because I would have no one to play with.
Oh.
Very sad. Anyway.
Well,
I just like making Ian uncomfortable.
So are most of the Xbox Live indie games subpar? Is that the general consensus, or they're just...
Their quality control isn't there.
Okay. Well, hopefully they'll get better because they had some improvements for this year. There's going to be a higher maximum CC game size. What's CC game? Anyone?
Bueller.
CC.
A CC game? What?
CCGAME.
Production value, folks. That's what we bring to you.
That's
here.
Right. Oh, that's probably the
like size of the game.
Yeah, it's probably the actual
like, so
the executable of a game.
Okay.
The game files.
Right. So the game files were limited to 150 megabytes.
Whew, that's not a lot.
No, which explains a lot of the subpar of the game quality. But now they are going to have a maximum size of 500 megabytes.
Oh, wow.
Through the App Hub for publishing Xbox Live indie games. So that's pretty cool.
Hmm?
Hopefully that'll help.
Very good.
They're also going to have a new limit for 800-point games. So, okay. Another area they're adjusting is a requirement that the titles larger than 50 megabytes be priced at either 240 or 400 points. After raising their maximum size, they've decided to also raise this limit starting today, which is January 4th. So last week, they can apply the 80 points price to any game with a CC game size under 150 megabytes, which is 3 times the current size.
So 80 points is $1, right?
$1. Yep.
Yeah. $1, Bob. $1.
$1, Bob. And then the guy next to him punches him in the face for stealing their prize.
I saw one guy do $2 once. I thought that was kind of impressive. Just to spite.
Yeah, I've seen. Or like if you see somebody do... You know, somebody does like 800, then somebody does 801, and then I've seen somebody do 802. And everybody on the line just goes, you son of a bitch. That's
We hate those people.
Yeah.
That's a game show, not a video game.
I think there was a game.
Oh, I'm sure.
Game, Price is Right game.
If there's a Wheel of Fortune game, there's a Price is Right game.
We need to find this.
Well, you've got an open tablet, so I think you should look it up.
Okay, and then another... improvement will be more titles. I don't know if this is an improvement, but more titles per developer. So the previous years, developers were limited to just 8 titles on the Xbox.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now they're able to do up to 20 per developer.
That is okay. I mean, I understand the size limitations, and I don't necessarily understand the price limitations, but I can see why. But the number of games per...
Yeah, they said it's not going to really apply to a lot of different developers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just going to be your select few, but maybe that select few is going to have the manpower to put out games, and through one or two, they'll learn and then be able to like punch out a bunch more that are going to be better and better and better.
I do know people that, I don't want to say troll, but you know, that will go through the indie game section on a regular basis. A friend of mine, Paul, who we've talked about on the show before, I know him and his three sons, they will go through the indie game, and they will get games. You know, they're not great, you know, but you know, his sons are 7, 5, and 3, so their standards are low.
Right.
Although the oldest one apparently has discovered Minecraft.
Oh dear.
And is actually going through and learning how to make video, like, is now like a YouTube fiend because he's going on to YouTube and watching other people make stuff in Minecraft so he can figure out how to make stuff.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
What? So I think one of the things about the indie games is it wanted to do what the App Store did in iTunes, which is where we got Angry Birds and Cutthroat, all these great $1 games from essentially startups.
Mm-hmm.
And by making a kind of separation between what you can release on Xbox Live Arcade, you know, Bastion got the proper funding to get there.
Yep.
And what you have in indie games, I feel like it makes kind of two marketplaces, which might not necessarily be fair to those indie gamers.
Well, and it didn't help that in the new dashboard, they really, really buried the indie section.
Like, right.
It's even harder to get to than it was in the old one.
Well, that's what someone commented on this article, said, hey, that's great, but you need to put these close to the front page, or they need to be more accessible because they're just, you don't know that they're there.
Yeah. I mean, they really need someone to curate, and because I know several people that would be interested in these games, but they don't want to wade through, you know, the Xbox equivalent of fart apps to get to it. You know, they don't want to have to wade through all of the crap in there to find those few good games.
Why couldn't they make it something similar to TiVo, where the Xbox, some application recognizes the games that you play often,
mm-hmm.
and then so it suggests indie games for you?
That's just a good idea in general. I mean, that would work for the Xbox Live, too.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Arcade, yeah.
But, I mean, that's a good idea, Ashley.
That is a good idea. I'm saying that, yes.
Good idea, Ashley.
Now, go do it, someone else.
All right. Now in answer to my query about the Price is Right video game.
Yes.
In 2008, Ubisoft released the Price is Right for DS, PC, and the Wii. 2010, they released Price is Right 2010 edition for DS and Wii. And then 2011, Price is Right Decades. So there's 3 versions in the last, 4 years?
Told
you. Do you still have your Wii?
Oh, yeah, I have my Wii.
Well, then that would be a good reason for you to start up your Wii. Get the prices right. I'm sure the game is like $10, $20 right
now. Oh, it's like $30. $25.
On Amazon?
Yeah.
You get it and we'll play it. I'm really good at Price is Right.
It would be nice if they actually connected to the internet and like saw what the retail price of something was, so you just can't memorize everything in the game.
True. So it just like was like live.
Yeah, like
attach it to Amazon or something like that.
Well, that's not retail price, so that's...
That's Amazon price.
It does have the list price.
Yeah,
on
it would have. They have access to that information.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they usually do it, so they know. So you know what kind of bargain you're getting.
Exactly. But that would trust the Wii to go online then.
That's true. That is true.
I don't know. A DS, I think it'd be like too tiny, but Wii would be a good reason to turn on your Wii.
Yeah, but it'd be fun to like place it with your Plinko. I suppose with the Wiimote, you could place your Plinko puck too. So
mm-hmm. Place your Plinko. Place your Plinko puck, in addition to being hard to say, sounds kind of dirty.
Yeah, it does.
All right, Ian, we know what we're getting for your birthday. When's your birthday?
It was December last year.
I was
going to
say, that was not very long ago.
We got time to plan.
Yeah, yeah. By then, the new version will be out. Yeah,
yeah, we'll make sure we get the latest prices. Yeah.
You get it for my birthday. I don't
know. Why would we give you anything, frankly? But
yeah.
I have good ideas.
Yes, you do.
You had a good idea.
Hey, my fish license idea was an amazing idea.
No, the fishing license was retarded.
I'm glad I wasn't here then.
This is pre-Ian.
It's
and Courtney, bless his soul. Because he's not dead, but he's not here.
But he to us, he is.
Yeah, he liked it.
And he's not on the show anymore.
So if you keep it up, with the doors right over there.
Oh, really, Ian? New kid on the block. Are you gonna make some changes around here?
Yeah.
You're the lowest on the totem pole.
Highest.
Hey, it's more of a flat totem pole. It's on its side. It's very lateral.
It's more of just a piece of plywood.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
We didn't make anything. We just bought the plywood and just set it out there.
It's like Mr. Plank. Yes. Dead Nitty.
Yes. So that's it for the story. I mean, there's still not a lot of news coming out quite yet. I mean, CES is going on right now.
Which is all netbooks.
It's netbooks.
Ultrabooks.
They're all, bleh.
Is that what they're calling them now?
Ultrabooks, yes.
Oh, lame.
That's what I mean.
Ultrabooks and tablets and cell phones, TVs.
Well, Microsoft actually, in somewhat gaming news, they did announce a partnership with Fox for Xbox Live. So they'll have like Fox TV, I think Fox Sports. I said the Wall Street Journal, which I don't know how that would work. But
The Wall Street Journal is producing a bunch of video content.
Oh, are they doing video content now? So
it's on my Apple TV.
There was a story, I think it was a Reuters story today, that was basically like, yeah, Microsoft was going to try to compete against the cable companies to kind of create this entertainment portal. And then they realized how expensive it was.
Yeah.
They quoted a, I don't remember who it was, but it was some like unnamed content provider, you know, company. And they're like, the way they described it is Microsoft was like, passed them the note saying, this is what we want to do. They looked at it, wrote a number down, passed it back to them. And Microsoft's like, holy shit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they're gonna dial it back a bit.
Well, the one thing, I mean, when it comes to content providing and actually content creation, is simply how much it costs to make the TV shows we love.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why the airways are filled with reality TV. It's the same reason why your Wii system is filled with crap titles. They're cheap to make.
Yeah.
And the AAA things, they're not so cheap and they don't come easy. So
should we get to games?
Well. I had a perfect segue here, and since we always openly talk about our segues, let's do this. All right, so CES, one of the things I saw in coverage a lot was gaming headsets.
Yeah, it seems that is big this year for some reason.
And it seems like everyone and their mother's releasing a gaming headset.
It's not even gaming, it's just heads, like just headphones in general, too.
Yeah. I know AI, or whatever they are, released new ones.
Dr. Dre
How many was AI?
What? I think it, or is it AAA? There's some like Swedish design company that makes really nice looking headphones.
Oh, I thought you just had a stroke there. you locked up like one of those old CD players.
No, like there's a way to pronounce the word, but I don't know it.
Ah.
You know, like Dr. Dre had his, and I know like Beats. Bose always comes out with incredible headphones.
But I don't necessarily follow a lot of general gadget news. I follow mainly video game stuff. But yeah, a lot of gaming headsets are coming out, and I actually just got a really nice gaming headset for Christmas.
Oh.
From whom?
From the girlfriend got me the Astro A30. There's the big kit, which is surprisingly $230, and that comes with like the wireless mix amp. It's basically something you hook up to an optical connection, so your PS3 output, or like for me, I have everything running into my home kind of theater receiver, and then just have the optical output going in that. So whatever optical, you know, whichever setting I'm on, I get that audio then, which is super handy. And then there's a little wireless mix that you plug headphones into. So you don't necessarily have to have their headset. You can still plug in and get audio out of it.
That's nice.
Which kind of makes it nice because basically I got the A30 headphones in, the Penny Arcade Edition. Which is nice because they're like $30 cheaper.
Are they Penny Arcade colors?
They're the white ones, but on one side is the logo in like rainbows. And the other side, it's Gabe and Tycho riding a unicorn.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's completely insane.
Your girlfriend's a keeper.
But the crazy thing about it is like, so the kind of requirements I wanted for a headset going into it is I didn't want it to be system specific. And it seems like everything on the market is PC and Xbox or PC and PS3. Or just one, but very few of them accommodate all three systems. And if they do, they do it in a very...
Don't they all have like the same port, though?
No, because Xbox uses RF for their wireless, and Sony uses Bluetooth.
Yeah. Also, like, keep in mind that like with your Xbox, the mic input is on your controller.
Yeah.
Where it's Bluetooth on.
Oh, yeah.
So they all have some way to do it. Nothing really does a good headset system.
Unless it's wireless.
Yeah. Or even then, like, how you hook it up, and can you have it hooked up to all the systems at once? And it seems like Astro made kind of the best generic, you have optical.
So how do you, okay, but so you can use it for your Xbox and your PS3. How do you hook it up if it has different ports?
So how it works is there's a USB plug on the system, on the little unit you hook up to. And you hook the USB port into your PS3, and then you hook this wire into the back of the unit. And that gives you audio for PS3. Or since you then have the wireless part that hooks up your headphones, you just plug in from the receiver to your controller.
Okay.
So you can wire in either or. It's really flexible, sounds really good with like movies and the games for sure. I played a lot of Forza with this thing on, and it's just unbelievable. They have like a Dolby headset mode, so you get virtual surround sound.
Cool.
But the other thing I really like about the A30 specifically is it's a little bit smaller. They're made not to be the huge head cans and more kind of mobile. They have a detachable boom mic, so if you're in gaming action, you plug the boom mic in, get that right up in front of your face. But if you're on the go, like mobile gaming, whatever, it has an inline mic for like mobile devices.
Oh, that's nice. And they're not super huge ear covers?
No, they're kind of square. They fit nicely on the ear.
Mm, yeah.
The padding, instead of being that like vinyl padded stuff, is actually kind of like a cloth. And it feels really good. The one big thing...
Oh, I like those.
The one big thing with headphones for me is like just fatigue from wearing them too much.
Oh, your ears start to hurt.
These ones, I haven't had any of that yet.
Really?
I've listened to them for probably several hours in one sitting, a couple times.
Yeah.
The big kind of knock I'd give it is the battery life isn't very good on the wireless receiver. So it's, I think when you're using the PS3 chat cable, you only get 7 hours. And it takes 3 AAAs, but you can solve that problem by picking up some rechargeables.
Yeah, or don't play 7 hours in a row.
We don't have time for solutions like that,
though. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, just trying to be logical.
But stop that.
Sorry.
But yeah, some simple rechargeable batteries solve that. But yeah, huge thumbs up on this just because it solved that kind of problem of looking for a solution I could hook up to my PC if I wanted. My PC has optical out. Hook up to both gaming systems, solve that problem. And the big thing is a lot of the gaming headsets look geeky. And being a geek, that's saying something. But I don't like things that look obnoxious. Like bright colors and all this stuff. Given I do have Gabe and Tycho riding unicorns on mine, but the thing about them is they're magnetic speaker takes, so you can switch on for different designs if you want.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like things bright, but...
You're a girl.
But, like, they seem to, like, I don't like a lot of the gaming gadgets that are military-themed.
Yeah, that's like, the ones that are just over the top, like, they're too big. Like, there's too much hardware. There's just, like, the bands and the head, actual, like, ear... What I don't care, I can't think of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the head, the cups and everything.
Yeah, like they're so big, and really, the bigger they are, it seems like they just hurt my ears more because they're just pushing against my ears more. And it also is a really good way of getting attention for people to steal them.
Yeah.
Because they look like they're super, super fancy, but that's not necessarily the case.
So yeah, the one big thing I'd say about these is they definitely come with configurations in mind. With just the headphones alone, you get kind of like a shorter. So basically where the mic is for like kind of the mobile part, it can detach and you can plug in different cables. So you have a shorter one that's kind of more for like I'm going to use it with an iPod or iPhone or Android device that has like the pause button built in. There's a longer one for, like, I need to hook up to a PC or whatever. There's also the one that has the mic and audio for PC use separated. So that's all kind of within that one kit. So even alone with the headphones, you get a lot of options.
That's nice.
Nice.
Yeah, huge fans. They do come at the price, though. I mean, that's the thing, is you can go get, I think PlayStation released a headset a while ago that, so by all means, was getting really good reviews, but it's kind of PlayStation.
Yeah.
And it was like $100. And that's a pretty good price for a good gaming headset.
How much were your set?
$230.
Oh, and that's okay. That's what you'd get. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but if you think about it, if you get two decent headsets, you know, one for each major console,
yeah,
that's, you're going to be close to $200 right there.
Well, and plus you were saying how versatile they are. Mm-hmm.
And they do sound really good. I mean, I'm a little bit of a headphone snob. Typically, I use Sennheiser HD 280 Pros for kind of at home. And then in my bag, I keep Sennheiser. I think they're 100 XIs or something like that. And like these things sound fantastic. And they don't have maybe the musical reproduction you have with those Sennheiser sets, but they don't sound like some of the other headphones I've tried, which are just awful. I mean, I don't mind listening to music on these things, and I could definitely see using them for more than just gaming.
Yeah. I mean, Cole has a nice, just, we just have your typical gaming sets that came with, like, the Xbox. Yeah. But, I mean, when he puts on headsets, it's just because, like, I'm in bed or he's trying to be quiet, so he just puts them on to listen to. And yeah. Those are nice, but he's had them for years, so I got him a nice, some nice Bose earbuds that he usually works out and listens to music. And they were $100, so I was a little wary because he didn't ask for headphones.
Yeah.
But they stay in his ear. Like, they're really weirdly shaped, but they stay in his ear perfectly. Yeah. They don't come out. And then he just said, like, the sound quality is amazing.
Yeah. Like, good headphones are definitely a worthwhile investment.
Especially for gamers or people who are big into music.
And that's one of the other things I like about this. They solve the wireless problem by it being kind of a little module that you plug into. So yeah. it comes with a belt clip. I usually just set it on the couch next to me. And the big thing is then the headphones don't have the weight of having all the RF gear in there and all the batteries and everything. You know, you have one more cable, but it's only going to the couch. You don't have to string across the living room then.
Right.
All right.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
I'm functionally deaf, so headphones are really not that useful for me.
One of my best friends always played video games with the sound off.
It's funny. I actually, for a long time, I played games not with the, well, with the sound off, but with the radio on. So there are songs that were popular on the radio in the early to mid 90s that when they come on the radio on the oldie station,
like
now,
Steal My Sunshine,
because I'm fucking old. No, this was even before that. I'm talking like Toadies. Okay. So, like, you know, fucking classical music to you people.
Wait, what are the Toadies?
Yeah, never mind.
I don't know, Ian.
I hate you all. But when those songs come on, I remember games.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, playing the Shadowrun on Genesis when those songs were out. You know, I that's kind of that sense memory for me. So, I'm like the worst person to ask. Like, I'm probably never going to buy a video game soundtrack because I just don't process video game music for the most part. I mean, unless it's, like, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if it's something like Scott Pilgrim or you know, Katamari or something like that, you know, where it's really kind of anything that's like orchestral or like classic stuff, I'm not going to remember it. It just kind of flows off of me.
So I remember, I think I talked to this one point before, where when the Xbox 360 came out, you were able to hook your iPod up to it. And me and my buddies had a challenge. We were always playing Call of Duty 2, but who could play the worst music to listen to while playing Call of Duty 2? And I think I won when I put on a Ben Harper CD.
It's not bad.
You know, like Whipping Boy comes on and you're trying to, it's just like, I just want to go cry for a little bit. Like,
true.
Wow.
But that was one of the greatest things on the Xbox game was like, yeah, just hook your iPod in and just drop in your own music.
Yeah, I still like, there was some PC games where you could just put a music CD in.
Yeah. So, yeah, Quake did that, right?
Quake did that. I always did it with Aliens versus Predator.
Oh, okay.
Because for me, the Power Man 5000 album, their big one, that is the soundtrack for Alien versus Predator. Because I actually didn't even know you could do that, and I just had left it in the computer.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, okay, so just to remind people, what is the name of these things? What company, like, what are they
called? They are made by Astro. If you go to astrogaming.com, they have the A30, which is the set I have, the A40, which is slightly bigger, a little bit more like, hey, you want some serious things that are, you may not want to take on the plane or out in public with you.
Right.
And they do make earbuds, but I haven't heard much about the earbuds. But yeah, fantastic quality. The unpackaging of these things is amazing. Like the packaging they ship in, it's like kind of magnetic boxes that kind of fold apart and almost like an origami style, or maybe not that deep, but just one of those things like where you buy a high quality product and it comes with a high quality packaging.
Instead of like a clamshell packaging.
Yeah.
Fucking knuckle busters.
The best thing about clamshells are like those bubble packages. All you need is a knife, but you never have a knife when you're around.
No, you don't.
And
no.
It's not even a knife, but like once you cut it open, then you have to pull it apart with your hands and you always slice your hand open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm so glad Amazon has started boycotting having fucking clamshell packaging on their site.
You know what the mouse is. You're not going to buy in the fact that you can see it in the box. Like we're just going to ship you a mouse.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, clam.
You playing anything right now? I know Ian played, but he already talked for a bit, so.
Yeah, I need a break.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
No.
So sleepy. No, nothing.
I'm waiting for Cole to beat Assassin's Creed so we can play Harry Potter Lego together.
It's an obvious shift. You know, obvious progression.
Yeah, you mean Harry Potter doesn't come down with blades from his wrist and assassinate professors?
He should. That'd
he
be assassinate. Awesome.
He kills Voldemort, which is pretty impressive.
But not with a knife that comes out of his wrist.
No, he does it with magic, which none of us know or have.
I don't have a wrist blade. No, do you, no. Ian? No.
You could get one. You can't get magic.
I can get Magic the Gathering.
I think I have an equal chance of both, honestly. So.
Well, you.
Well, that's just your laziness, then.
Well.
That give me two leather belts and a knife and we can give
but
you
it doesn't go sneaky it doesn't
well, do yeah but screen. You can stab your hands.
Oh please, can I? See, I want a Lego Assassin's Creed now that I think about it.
That would be kind of adorable.
I would play that game. I'll play any Assassin's Creed, but you know,
and Ash will play any Lego game. It's perfect.
No, I didn't actually. Out of all the Lego games, I did not play the Star Wars ones.
Really? The ones that kicked off the world?
Yeah.
Were those the first ones?
I believe so.
Yeah, it was the original trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Those games were fun.
And then it was the saga, and then now it's Clone Wars.
Yep.
I only ever played Indiana Jones.
Is that any good?
It's cute. It's
Lego games. I mean, there's really not that much difference between any of them.
They don't invent and reinvent the world.
Not
each
really,
time.
No.
Well, each character, I mean, they try to make it more about...
I mean, they're good at theming things, but in terms of the core gameplay, it doesn't really change a whole lot.
Well, no, they're Legos.
Yeah.
You were right. Lego Jack Sparrow runs like Jack Sparrow.
Isn't
it's
he?
Really cute.
It's so cute. It's vomit worthy. It's so cute.
Like my nephew got that in the 3DS. I'm like, oh, that's a little drunk Jack Sparrow. That's yep. Awesome.
It's so great. I love it.
All these months later, you're still talking about it.
Yeah, because it's cute. Details. Always. Women are always about details.
Always about the cuteness.
And cuteness.
That, yeah.
I did hear on NPR today that you have the same, your brain has the same kind of reaction with cute things as it does like really like adrenaline rushes or really happy, like if you're on a drug or alcohol, like, you know, like when you get really happy,
mm-hmm.
your brain has that same reaction, chemical reaction when you see something really cute that you think is like really, really cute.
Hmm.
So you, what was the cuteoverload.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's just overload. Like, that's your drug choice.
Yeah. I know friends who visit it daily. It's pretty cute.
Wow.
Evan has no compassion for anything cute.
Evan just reads text from last night and then basically says every single time he sends them to me, I picture you as this number. I picture you as this number.
Wait, you read text from last night?
Yes.
I haven't been there for years.
Yeah, yeah, and he sends them to me pretty much one a day. And he's like, I think you'd be the one that is saying the
I just
first.
Imagine that your friends are terrible.
Yeah, he's just like, so. Every single one he sends me is like, I can see this and your friends. I'm like, what? Fine, probably.
Yeah, see?
It's awesome having terrible friends.
Yeah. I'm really living vicariously through her terrible friends, because all my terrible friends are boring terrible. So.
The different kind of terrible.
Yeah, it's not nearly as fun.
So have you been playing anything?
I did something I never do.
I'm happy that you did this. This is a good move in your life. It will only create better opportunities for you down the road.
I doubt it, but so I was playing Skyrim on the Xbox.
Everyone has.
And I got to a point where it was completely bugged out. Like I couldn't get anywhere in like several major quests. I managed to hit like a perfect trifecta of bugs that just, I couldn't get anywhere.
Such is your luck.
Yeah. So I was like, well, you know what? I was kind of thinking about restarting and I've been wanting to play with mods and things like that. So it's like, I'm going to get rid of the Xbox version and buy it on Steam. So I've actually bought the same game on two different platforms. Which
you
I,
did
I,
a mic. You pulled a mic.
I did. No, I really, well, no. Because the different... With me, it's a continuous transition. I'm not going to come back to this. I'm not going to get rid of it and then rebuy it in 6 months.
You did a half mic.
I did a half mic with a twist.
Yeah.
So like the half Nelson?
Something like that.
Oh, okay. But with the legs.
Yes, exactly. So I ended up, so I bought it on Steam, picked up a couple different mods. Nothing gameplay wise, just some interface mods. And one of them I can't quite get in work yet, but that was more just like, oh, why not? And I'm like, I'm going to take this opportunity to play a different game style than I was before. So I played for a little while as like a pure mage, you know, just going around.
Two spells.
Yeah, two wands. One in each hand. No wands. Just my own. Just all me. Just doing that. And then I thought about it some more. I played probably about 12 hours like that.
Jesus.
And I just, once I realized there's like 7 spells in that game, and just all you do is just get higher level versions of the same spell.
Fire,
yeah, pretty much what it is. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this long term. And on top of that, and this is the problem I had with my, I guess, third character that I tried to do basically a much more evil version of my original character, where I just was a bastard. I stole everything. I basically grabbed everything that wasn't nailed down that had any sort of value. And I got bored of that. And I think part of it is I can't play bad.
No, I can't either.
I can't do it.
We're good guys.
That's debatable.
That's part of it, but it's also just the it's a lot of work to be bad in games.
Like
it's a lot it's
I don't want to put a box in anyone's head.
It's easier to be good in games. Like that was one thing I always give like Echo Bazaar, which is a browser game that we've talked about on the show before. I give Echo Bazaar a lot of credit because they make being a bad guy not only enjoyable, but it's not just hiccuping through the
entire thing. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying. I don't know when they're coming.
It's okay. It makes being a bad guy worthwhile. You don't feel like you're needlessly handicapping yourself just for the sake of being an ass.
Yeah.
Which, I've tried being a bad guy in Mass Effect. I've tried any sort of game where you have a morality system. If you can be a dick, it's always just more work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's I don't know if that is because we're just good guys or if that's just a design thing or what the deal is.
I think you actually hit something on the head. It's like you have to do more work. Like if you want to go steal from a shop, you have to sneak in. You have to be unseen. You have to take the item without being seen, right? Like, or I could walk in and buy it with money.
Yeah.
I have gold coin. I give you gold coin. You give me sword. I leave. Or better yet, I'm going to go craft something better than what you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, I'm not against stealing stuff in games because, I robbed a bank in my original character. and like that was fine. But the guy was a dick. Like the guys that ran the bank, they were just pricks.
Like real bank owners?
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, they were the 1%. It was kind of funny, actually.
But Grand Theft Auto is pretty easy to be bad.
But that's the only option. Like you can't just be you can't do a pacifist run of Grand Theft Auto.
But you can.
No,
but
you can do like
you don't have to get the hooker, right? Then you don't have to kill the hooker. You don't have to
get 5 stars.
Yeah.
Of police.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't do that in Grand Theft Auto.
But that's fun. That's the funnest part.
See, I for me, I can't do that, and I think a lot of it's weird because they're like games, and I'm actually writing. I worked on an article today, and my goal is to have it up by tomorrow.
Yeah, say you're working on an article every week, and you don't post shit.
I work on a lot of. I've got a lot of things going on.
Finish something.
Got a lot
first.
Of pokers in the fire.
Never.
The fire's not going though.
Did you say you have a lot of hookers in a fire?
Pokers.
Oh.
Wow. How's that for Freudian, right there?
No, I thought that's what he said. Hookers, because we were talking about hookers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Anyway, it's harder being evil.
Yeah, no.
Unless the game, like, I think of a game like Overlord, where that is the game.
It's
just
but it's
being
fun
evil.
You're cheeky.
Yeah, but that's the only option you have. Like, if I played Manhunt, I probably wouldn't have a problem being an asshole.
Yeah.
Because that's the only option.
But you're not really the asshole in Manhunt. You're trying to get away from people trying to kill you. So you're killing people.
Don't justify it.
Okay.
Don't justify Mr. Manhunt. Which is who I imagine the name of that character is.
Mr. Manhunt?
Mr. Manhunt. So yeah. Mr. Do.
But it's funny, like, I know people that can only play evil. Like, they'll go into Mass Effect or whatever XYZ game, mm-hmm. and they'll play evil no problem, and I don't get it. It's like, how do you just screw over everyone in this game? Like, because to me, it's like almost, I look at it as an extension of myself. Like, mm-hmm. would I do this in the real world?
Yeah, yes. That's the thing. Like, all of these kind of games where you are playing essentially yourself. Like, with Mass Effect, you are playing Shepard.
Yeah.
You know, with Skyrim and several of these games, you are playing yourself. You know, you can imprint any sort of personality you want on that character.
So my guy in Skyrim just sits in his chair all day and eats Cheetos?
If there were Cheetos in Skyrim.
I made some.
Did you? You crafted?
Yeah, crafted them.
Nice. Is there any point to food in that game, by the way?
It's fun to make and it gives you health.
Yeah, but so do potions. And there's no cooking skill. There is an alchemy skill, though.
But I have a kitchen, and sometimes I use it to reduce my inventory into one item.
No, I just sell it. Or I just don't pick up food.
Yeah.
Yeah, my original character, I've been playing for a month of game time. He slept once and ate, and last time he ate was like 4 weeks ago. So I don't know how he's...
It's almost seems ludicrous that they keep that stat, right? Like,
yeah,
you ate 4 months ago. It's like, well, you're dead.
Yeah. It's like, no, I haven't... Yeah. But yeah, so I've now, this morning, I started up my fourth character in Skyrim, which is just back to my original style of play. And now I'm playing it more like I used to play Diablo. Like, I'm playing it in a window when music is playing, or I'm editing the show or something like that, when I'm just doing something else. It's not something I'm really actively involved in. Maybe when I get to areas that I haven't been to before, I'll pay more attention. But right now, it's more just playing back through the 100 hours I've already done.
I don't know if I could start another character in Skyrim. I'm pretty connected to the one I've made. I'm going to see his story through, and then I'll probably be done with the game.
I probably will, too. It's just more I had to.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get anywhere. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, if I get trapped with a bug, I can just console my way out of it.
Yeah.
With PC. I can't do that on Xbox. Help. So, yeah, good times. But yeah, that's the only thing I'm playing. I'm going to probably get more back into Assassin's Creed multiplayer now, and maybe get into ICO. But probably the next big purchase I've got is Mass Effect, and that comes out fairly soon here.
Yeah.
About a month or so, month and mm-hmm. a half. So, just preparing myself for that.
Getting the diapers ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, Ian, you've been doing Forza.
Yes,
as well as
four. You've been doing the Forza.
Forza 4.
Now, Mike was playing this before.
And I think he still is. I mm-hmm. think it's on his stack. Yeah, it's one of the many things I got for Christmas. I was also Forza 4. I was about to say huge racing game fan, but I'm a big fan of them. I just tend not to be very good at the kind of later stages when you actually have to be really technically racing. But I've done probably, let's say 15 races kind of in the event stage of Forza. And prior to this, I was playing a lot of Gran Turismo 5. And Gran Turismo 5 was a great game with some big, I would say, issues in kind of how you navigate the game, how you kind of do the outside of the actual racing, how you navigate to races, how you figure out what to do next, how you tune your car. Lots of time spent on loading screens. And Forza 4 seems to have alleviated a lot of that. And the one big thing I noticed is I like to think I'm a car guy, but I'm really not. I know what looks good and I know what looks fast. And I know the more horsepower is good and all this stuff. But when it comes to actually making a car better for racing, I couldn't tell you the first thing to do. So in the Gran Turismo and other games like that, I would just go put it on a turbocharger, add the air filtration system and the exhaust and blah, 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 blah. However, in Forza, they do have the option to do a quick tune, where you basically say, I need my car to race at the top of this class.
It's the Jiffy Lube button.
Exactly, and you can get the list of all the modifications it makes. And I was surprised that the first thing it usually does is it puts on like a racing clutch and then makes your rear tires wider.
Well, that makes sense.
It makes sense, but like from how I would think about the game, it's like horsepower, horsepower, horsepower. No, they make it handle first, and then they add the horsepower. And then
you're not building a missile.
That's how I play the game, though. I hit everything that moves. I drive like, what's the line from Talladega Nights? I drive like a pissed off teenager.
If I want to go fast.
If it's in front of me, I'm hitting it.
Shake and bake.
Yep, shake and bake.
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Why do you want to listen to music and watch TV at the same time? Because I like to party.
It's hard to argue that.
It's hard. Yeah. That is, and so he tells him how.
Yeah. So, but in terms of like racing, the game is great. And the one epiphany or kind of thought I had is after playing so many of these games where they've actually gotten really good at recreating, you know, world-renowned racetracks is, this racetrack, I've done this like 400 times now. So I've pretty much picked up the game, set it down to hard, and raced every track without problem. Because it's the beginning, like your slower level cars, and I have all of these tracks mapped out in my mind already. And it wasn't until probably my 15th or so race I hit the Sedona National Raceway, and it was something that I've never seen in a video game. And it was the first time, like, ooh, I don't know how to do this one. Like, I can't do it the first time. But I'll give him credit
for... I hate that.
I know. I'll give him credit for having a crap ton of cars. I'll give them credit for, they have this really interesting mode where at first it pissed me off, but the more I think about it, the more I think it's actually really cool. When it comes to buying cars in-game, so not DLC, but like in-game on disc cars, you can spend credits. You know, the credits you earn in the game, 1500 or whatever the price is, or you can spend your real hard-earned dollars. You can buy car credits. And the thing about that is you hit a point in some of these racing games where you have to grind for a car. Just like World of Warcraft or just like Final Fantasy, you're grinding for something. And I can see myself at a point where it's like, damn it, I'll just spend $5 for the Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of that League of Legends system where it's like, if you like that character, you can buy him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like cheating in a way. Like,
okay.
Like Microsoft cheating me out of my money. Because they know it's like, you're going to have to grind. And that's where everyone stops playing these, or not everyone, but that's where most of the people stop playing these racing games, is as soon as you get to that grind. Now it's like, no, a couple bucks, we'll give you the car. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you.
Oh, son of a bitches.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're into racing games, I think it's one of the easiest ones to hop into.
I always thought Forza had the reputation of being very technical, very simmy.
Same with Gran Turismo. They're in the same vein.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my racing game tends to be limited to
Mario Kart
or Twisted Metal, you know. Anytime you're dealing with what kind of clutch you're dealing with, it's like, no, that's not my game. Sorry.
No. Yeah, manual. No, not manual. Automatic.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely like the aspect of kind of learning from the quick tune of like, oh, these are...
That is cool. That is very cool. Especially for a guy like me that doesn't know anything.
Yeah. And it's like, I have an RX-8 and I need to race at the, you know, B level. Okay, make it B. Make it so. And the other cool thing is, like, if you race with a lot of one company, so I started my first car as Ford Focus, and then I moved to a couple other Ford cars, is as you win races with a specific manufacturer, you gain basically affinity with that manufacturer.
You gain Spacebook points to actually get a real Ford car?
No. So basically...
no, that's a really long grind.
So I think within the game, for Ford and Mazda, I can get all upgrades for free.
Oh, that's nice.
Because it's like you've raced with them so much that you've proven that you're a fan of their brand, they're going to take care of you. And I think that's really cool because it eliminates that kind of, again, that grind. Like, you spend so much money upgrading cars that when you actually need to buy something new, you need to go race money for it. This one's like, if you're with the one company you love, mm-hmm. you never pay for upgrades after a while. So you go to QuickTune, it's like, make it a B class, and it just does it for free.
Nice.
Yeah. Big fan.
Cool.
Well, all right.
I've always heard good things of the Forza games.
Yeah, I know the racing friends of mine that are really into that. They've always dug that one too. So,
and what's interesting is that they make such a great game with such a shorter development cycle compared to Gran Turismo. I mean, Gran Turismo came out in the original PlayStation 1 a long time ago, where Forza came out later into the original Xbox cycle.
Yeah. They were the Xbox reaction to Gran Turismo.
Yeah, after like probably Gran Turismo 3.
Yeah.
And they're on 4 already. They've just been cranking out these high quality games. So
nice. Excellent. Well, all right. We can cut a little short this week. We've had long shows last few weeks, so mm-hmm. take it a little easy. Plus, with the news being kind of shitty,
we just don't want to bore anybody.
Yeah.
Now, one other news nugget.
Oh, yeah.
Diablo 3 on consoles.
That is true. Although that's been rumored and kind of assumed for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't that...
Yeah. Basically, the article I read was someone asked the customer rep on or the PR rep on Twitter, and all they responded with was, yep.
Yeah, it was basically like, we're committed to doing a good console experience. Now, whether that comes out at the same time or not, who knows at this point, but... And there was another rumor that Diablo 3 is going to be coming out in February, which I'm like, that would be A, awesome, because that's really soon, although it's competing with Mass Effect at that point, but B, that's really short marketing cycle.
I saw that and the first thing I thought was bullshit.
Yeah. I don't trust any release date that is announced by a store, because that was like a Best Buy that was announcing that.
Well, especially, I mean, with the Vita getting the release date of end of the year, end of 2011, a while ago, and basically it came out, it's like, no, a lot of times stores will just put placeholders based on quarterly calendars.
Yeah.
When they think it might come out, or at least they have to put a day in there so they stick it to the quarterly calendars. Mm-hmm. So.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think there was always an expectation that they wanted to do console. And then Blizzard's been kind of doing, they've been wanting to get into consoles again, you know, because, you know.
Ever since Battletoads?
Well, that wasn't Blizzard.
I think it was.
No, you're thinking Blackthorn. Look that up. I'm willing to bet you Battletoads was not, Battletoads was Midway, I think, actually.
I know they did Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah, that might be the last Blizzard game on consoles. But while you look that up, we can wrap up here. I want to thank Ashley Hay for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. And thank you for telling your friends, sharing the news of our awesome netcast to everybody. And make sure you're checking out our Tumblr, which is yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com. We have articles and just fun stuff on there.
Yep, we actually had our first listener review. We're doing listener contributions on the blog. One of our listeners, Amanda, wrote a review for an Xbox Live indie game called Rainbow Revenge, or I apologize, I don't remember. Just check out yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com. It's the first story on there. And if you're interested in becoming one of our writers, you can always email us at yags@fancypantsgangsters.com. You have an answer, Mr. Ian, sir?
Battletoads was made by Rare.
Rare, aha.
And Blackthorn was made by Blizzard. Yes. And I was thinking of the Lost Vikings.
Oh, that's a fair.
Yes.
That is fair. But yeah, that was Genesis era, was mm-hmm. Lost Vikings. So yeah, so and so was Blackthorn. So yeah, that's probably the last console. They did StarCraft 64. But that made Baby Jesus cry. Yeah. That was really nice.
They did a Diablo for console too.
Oh, did they?
I believe so.
Who knows?
I want to say they did.
Okay. Well, Torchlight proved that you could do that style of game on the console. So,
yep. So. PlayStation, distributed by Electronic Arts.
It was PlayStation? All right. Look at that. Holy shit. All right. Also, big thanks to Ian.
I know the facts. Head on over to shop.fancypantsgangsters.com to check out some t-shirts. And buy them and make us happy. And make you happy for wearing good t-shirts.
We would appreciate it.
Yes.
We love you long time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at YagsFPG. On Facebook at facebook.com/yetanothergamingshow. We already mentioned the Tumblr as well. And we talked about a few weeks ago, Rusty Quarters Arcade just opened up in Uptown Minneapolis. I know a couple of our listeners have checked it out. Let us know. We've had several attempts to organize a trip down there, and just it keeps falling apart at the last moment. But it's very cool. It's a classic arcade. Everything's a quarter. No beer, which is a bit of a shame.
They're working on it.
But it looks cool. But so if you've been there, let us know, and maybe we'll arrange an outing or something like that.
A field trip,
perhaps. Yes. So thank you guys for listening very much, and we will see you guys next week. Ashley's dozing off.